A little bit about what the encouragement is about this morning is thanksgiving, joyfulness, and sacrifice. Yeah, part of it had to do with our leftover Thanksgiving dinner last Sunday. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the fact that I didn't bring my week-old leftovers and get any of you sick. I hope you appreciated that. I've had several opportunities to spend some time in the woods in November, and it was a good time for meditation and reflection on what God has done for me this past year. You know, I decided to make a list of things that my earthly dad, Jim Doty, has done for me and what I was thankful for. I typed it up, put it in an envelope, and I gave it to him. I guess I just wanted to tell him those things I was most grateful for that he had provided for in my life, because his health isn't that great, and I didn't want to be standing at his gravesite wishing I had said those things. Cousin Dawn Huff shared with me last week that she had to get pretty direct with her dad, and the end result was she knew that she had done everything that she could to share the gospel with him. Something to sort of put in the back of your mind. If there's something that you wanted to share with somebody, hey, now's a good time to do it. Now's the time to do it. And if you can't say it to them face to face, or that's not your relationship, or that makes the other person uncomfortable, then type it up and give it to them in a letter. Because that is the easiest way to do that. We have a great and awesome Heavenly Father, and we need to also take time to stop and give Him praise and thanks for the things that He has done for us and for the things that He is worthy to be praised for. In Psalms 100, starting in verse 1 going through 5, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." What does it mean to you to enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise, and how do you do it? Or when we sing, do we sing with a purpose in our voice so that God might know that we're here and that He is listening and we want Him to hear us? Or do we just sort of mumble the words because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody sitting next to us? Sing unto the Lord and not to worry about the person sitting next to you. In Nehemiah 12:46, it says, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God." Turn to Psalms 33. Read a few verses here. Remembering that we just got done with Thanksgiving, and maybe you didn't have time to be thankful at that time because you were so worried about the turkey in the oven and the people who were coming to your house and the dishes that needed to be washed. Well, you know, that's all over with now, so let's get serious. Psalms 33, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." Ever thought about your praise to God being considered beautiful? "Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Are you not one of the Lord's righteous? Your praise lifted up to him is beautiful. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas was just his word, and it is standing to this day because he commanded it to be so. We just finished up the gun season. Before that, we had archery for deer. I'm going to share a thought with you. When you stumble through the dark at O Dark Early and climb into a tree stand a half an hour or more, if you're with Blaine, the beginnings of any light in the sky, you are given the blessed opportunity to listen to the silence of the earth. As the sky begins to lighten and slowly heads towards the morning sunrise, you sit in amazement as the sounds of the forest start with small, quiet stirrings, and then the scattered chirps of the early rising birds, and it doesn't take very long after the sun crests the horizon before you are inundated with a cacophony of sound from the geese, the trumpeter swans, the crows, and especially the sandhill cranes. It's almost deafening. Sometimes it is so loud you couldn't hear a deer coming until it is sitting in the stand with you. It's that loud. Sometimes it's difficult to put into words the beauty of God's creation. But after sitting still in a tree stand for a couple hours and seeing all that's really going on in the world, it's much easier to see the hand of God. But beyond the wonder of the physical world that God has created, his personal care and concern for us is hard to fathom and appreciate, but it is there nonetheless. Psalms 103. Picking up in about verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. He has removed our transgressions and has not paid us what we were owed. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and how do we express thankfulness for that? How about your material possessions that you've been blessed with? Most of the world craves to live in America, but because most of us don't travel to the rest of the world, we're not positive sure we understand why. Well, I can tell you my little tiny ranch house in many parts of the world would be considered a mansion. How about our salvation? Have we become so used to having received the gift of eternal life that we no longer reflect on what a valuable gift that it is? Another reason why we should make sure we're here every Lord's Day, to remind ourselves of what was paid for us to have that gift. You know, we've already won the ultimate lotto, and we just have to do a little labor before we receive the promised payment, if indeed we've been added to the kingdom. Remember what Jesus said in John 3:5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So if you've heard the instruction and obeyed to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, another great gift from God, you are a member of God's family and in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul had a good appreciation for the debt of the Christian debt and encouraged Christians to please the Lord in the things that he did in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Starting in about verse 9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Paul prayed for their increased knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and understanding. And where's that going to come from? Through reading your scriptures. You want these things? You want increased wisdom and understanding of what God wants for you? You have to get into the Word. Paul knew that they had been delivered and conveyed into the kingdom of God's Son. They'd bingoed, they jackpotted, they'd crossed over to the new kingdom. They and we are to live like we are actually in a new kingdom. Turn to chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Again, writing to Christians, he says, "Therefore," here's a reminder, "as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Excuse me. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And when are you going to do all that? Well, on Sunday, that's when I do it. I come down here and I do it all on Sunday. Well, 7 days a week is probably more like it. The challenge that we often face, and I think it's just a kind of a modern day dilemma, is that individually we're from all different parts of this state. We don't see each other on a regular basis. We don't connect with each other on a regular basis. How are you going to overcome that? Well, you're going to have to use some imagination. Use some imagination. I'm not a huge Facebook fan. There's a lot of garbage out there. But there are people that take the time to put scripture verses out on their little website, and if they're a friend of mine, then I get to see it. Now, I've wondered about some people, you know, what do they do? Stay up all night, put all this junk up there? But there's a few that put verses out there. I find that sort of encouraging. Annette Sosa, who's in Phoenix, Arizona, with her husband Albert, posts scripture verses on her page every day. And I thought, well, isn't that wonderful? We can do that too. We can text one another. We can Facebook each other. We can call one another. We can do whatever we can to communicate one with another instead of remaining in our little silos the whole week long and then gathering on Sunday. Just a thought. Just a thought. We're talking about being thankful unto the Lord. And why do we have to be thankful to the Lord via Jesus? Hebrews 13, starting in verse 10. We, the Christians, have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, speaking of Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for us, and how do we thank God for his love and mercy? Well, in the Old Testament times, they had tangible things that they could do. For example, when Solomon held the grand opening of God's house, and for time's sake you can look this up, it's in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 through 63, where thousands of bulls and sheep were sacrificed out of gratitude for God fulfilling all his promises. And how are we going to be so grateful for Jesus' sacrifice for us? What are the sacrifices that we can make today? How can we give our best to God? The psalmist says in the 51st Psalm, verses 15 through 17, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Putting God's agenda before our own. It's for some a difficult task, for others it's a growing process. It's a matter of just making it your priority. Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, and this cracks me up, which is your reasonable service. Makes it seem like it's just so normal. Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. See, that's where you got to get this mindset change. You got to elevate it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, God's word, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. We have so much to be thankful for. And we can demonstrate our appreciation to God. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I don't think I'm speaking out of line here, but I believe that the recent fundraiser to make sure the preachers in Vietnam and Myanmar are encouraged by Brother Steve is the sort of thing that God would be very pleased with. I am personally very grateful for the bountiful outpouring of this body, as it gives me great hope that God's work will continue in Bellevue long after I am gone. Now, don't panic, Wade, but I am 61. And who knows? Heart issues in the family, I could be gone at any time. So that great outpouring, 6,349, to me is a demonstration that your hearts and your minds are on the things of God. Anybody notice that the thanks for giving meal, they posted some sort of results sign there on the main street? Olmsted, you live there. How much was it? Yeah, I 22,500 sounds about right. 20,500. It still sounds right. That was a local community event to help people in need. The fundraising that we did is for spiritual growth of individuals, a spiritual thanks for giving. So I just want to say that I was wowed by your giving. And we are not asked to give what we don't have, but rather we are to offer to God what is ours to give, appreciation from the heart for all that he's done for us. Even our faith, which saves us, comes from him, and we need to be thankful. Rattle these off, Colossians 2 and 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We don't often have the opportunity to say or demonstrate our appreciation for things that have been done for us, and sometimes we're remiss. That's why when I started out, I talked about writing a little letter to a relative or somebody that you want to say thanks to now. But we also can get remiss in our thanking God for the great blessings that he has bestowed upon us, because we've been Christians for so long and we feel like we're just repeating ourselves. God doesn't look at it that way. We need to stop and make sure that we are appreciative of all that he's done for us. Don't let this memorial feast become routine ho-hum, but use it as an opportunity, as restoration and a refreshing of your heartfelt praise for God for saving you. In closing, consider your praises of the Lord. Are they offered with joy and gladness? Are you thanking God throughout the week for what he's done in your life and the many blessings that you have? Are you offering sacrifices unto God? Are you offering your Lord, your body, and your mind? Are you offering physical things, such as praises from your mouth? Are you sharing with others the same spiritual blessings that you have received? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be a sacrifice, to provide a way for a sinful man to repent of his sins, a way for the sinful man to bury his old man in the water of baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen him in the trials he would face as he came back to God the Father and have eternal life. Psalms 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and praise and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'd like to close with a short little encouragement out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in about verse 14. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Thanks for your attention.